welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levin. You're delivering an hour of comedy. Later on, the Bob Hope Show with special guest, bandleader and comedian Phil Harris. But right now, it's the Radio Reader's Digest with the story, Mr. Cougut Has Taken Sick, a CBS episode from October 24th, 1946.
Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you an amusing story from the life of Mr. and Mrs. Cougut, starring Constance Bennett. Third of a century, quality has been a habit with the people who create Hallmark cards. They have come to know the kind of cards you really want. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. The kind of cards you can be proud to send. That's why the words, a Hallmark card, on the back of the cards you choose, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. You can find Hallmark cards that say what you want to say the way you want to say it. So, when you want to send the very finest, be sure to look in the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. And now to preside over the Hallmark program this evening, here's a young man well known to Broadway both as actor and producer, Richard Calmer.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Up to now, there have been only three Constance Bennetts. Constance Bennett, the actress, Constance Bennett, the producer, and Constance Bennett, the successful businesswoman. But if you've read the back cover of our current Reader's Digest, you know that the lovely Connie may any day now acquire a fourth personality, that of Constance Bennett, the researcher. Her initial researches consisted of a persistent burrowing into back issues, and she was spurred to this activity through having appeared some time ago on the Hallmark program. Well, she's back with us tonight, and goodness knows what fifth personality this appearance will evoke. All we can be sure of is that personality number five will be as interesting as the other four, or as her performances always are. The Hallmark program proudly presents Mr. Cougut Has Taken Sick by Isabel Scott Rorick and starring Constance Bennett, the actress. It's early morning, and in Mr. and Mrs. Cougut's bedroom, yellow slices of autumn sun are coming through the Venetian blinds. Mrs. Cougut stirs in her bed and stretches luxuriously. She opens her eyes, casts a casual glance at the other bed, and then sits bolt upright.
George, you're still here.
Am I?
But look at the time. It's 9 o'clock.
I know.
George. You aren't going to the office?
No, I'm sick.
Oh, darling. Let me feel your head.
It's hot.
Shall I call Dr. Buell?
Maybe you'd better.
Oh, I'll tell him to come right over. Anna, you stay in bed, dear. I'll be right back. Anna!
Did you call me, Miss Cougar?
Oh, Anna, Mr. Cougar is... Hello, operator. Give me Fernwood 560, please. Oh, Anna, Mr. Cougar isn't feeling well. Bring his breakfast upstairs, will you?
It's Friday. You know, I cleans on Friday.
Well, you'll just have to put it off until later. Mr. Cougut may be dangerously ill.
It's a lie. I hope it ain't nothing serious.
Oh, and Anna, please take the cat downstairs. She always sits on the telephone and disconnects me. Nice, Lily. Go with Anna now. Oh, hello? Dr. Buell's office? This is Mrs. George Cougut, 23 Havenhurst Drive. How soon can the doctor come over? No, I'm fine. It's my husband. That's right. Mr. Cougut. Well, all the time we've been married... He hasn't been sick for a minute. But now, from the looks of him, everything seems to have given way at once. Darling, aren't you going to eat your breakfast?
I'm not very hungry.
Oh, let me feel your head again.
It's still hot.
Well, just the same, you ought to eat something. You think maybe you'd like a nice egg?
Maybe.
Oh, I'll go tell Anna. Oh, Lillian, are you back up here again? Anna! Anna!
Yes, Miss Cougar?
Mr. Cougar thinks he'd like a nice egg.
While I'm fixing the egg, who's going to be running this vacuum cleaner?
Anna, dear, I told you the cleaning could wait. Strange as it may seem, Mr. Cougar is more important.
How does he want it?
How does he want what? Oh, the egg. Well, just a minute and I'll ask him. George, dear, how do you... George! George, where are you?
Sound like he's choking to death.
No, he's gargling.
You can't hardly tell the difference.
Well, you better make the egg soft-boiled, I think. It'll slide down his throat more easily.
A raw egg slides down easiest of all.
Now, Anna, it won't take 2 minutes to soft-boil an egg. Oh, I'd better get on the phone and cancel my appointment. Crestwood, 743, please.
Liz, where's my hunting sweater?
Your hunting sweater? George, if you think I'm going to let you go out hunting when you're...
I'll wear it over my pajamas. I'm cold.
Oh, well, that's different. It's in the... Oh, hello. Is this the beauty parlor? This is Mrs. Cougar. I'm terribly sorry, but I'll have to cancel my appointment. My husband is ill. Yes. George, your sweater's in the...
All right, Liz. I found it.
Oh, good. Now, please go back to bed, dear. I'll be right in. Center 692, please.
Liz, will you get me the heating pad?
Yes, dear, in a minute. Hello. Is Mrs. Ramsey there? Oh, then will you please tell her that Mrs. Cougar will not be able to help at the rummage sale this afternoon. Tell her my husband is very ill. Thank you.
Liz, better get the hot water bottle, too.
Right away, darling. Oh, dear. Hello? Oh, yes, Mother, I was just going to call you. George is very sick.
Liz.
Oh, I don't know, but he feels just awful, so please don't bring Cousin Melba to tea. Yes, dear, I know she came all the way from Cincinnati.
Liz.
But if George has something contagious, Cousin Melba might carry it back to Cincinnati and start an epidemic.
Liz.
Oh, Mother, he's calling me. I've got to hang up. I'll call you later. Yes, darling, I'm coming. I'll bring you the heating pad and the hot water bottle.
And an ice bag.
An ice bag? How can you want a hot water bottle and an ice bag at the same time?
My feet are cold and my head is hot.
Dear, I wish Dr. Buell would get here.
Mrs. Cougar!
Oh, I'm down here in the downstairs closet looking for Mr. Cougar's heavy woolen scarf. Did you take him his egg, Anna?
Yes. He wouldn't eat it, neither.
He wouldn't?
No.
Oh, Anna. I'm afraid he's really very sick.
When men refuse food, that don't mean they're sick. That means they're dying.
Mercy. Look out the window again and see if Dr. Buell is coming.
Yes, he sure better hurry and get here or the undertaker will beat him to it.
Oh, Lillian, I'm sorry. I didn't see you. Oh, Lillian, I'm frightened. She's never been sick before, never. And now, supposing it's something serious. Suppose he doesn't get well.
Goodbye, Liz. You must be brave. Remember, I loved you till the last. Goodbye, old George. Cut down in the prime of life.
He looks very happy and peaceful.
George always did look well in a cutaway.
Oh, George, darling, don't leave me.
Good morning, Mrs. Cougar.
Oh, doctor, thank goodness you've come.
Off again, please. Again, please. Again, please. All right, that's enough.
Oh, doctor, is it serious?
Well, Mrs. Cougar,
it's all right, doctor. You don't have to wait until you get out of the room to tell us. Give it to us straight. What have I got?
A cold.
Is that all? I mean, he seems so sick.
Nothing to worry about. Better keep him home for a day or so, see that he gets plenty of rest, stays out of draft, drinks lots of liquid.
Well, I'm glad it's nothing worse.
Goodbye, Cougar.
Oh, goodbye, Doc, and thanks a lot.
Oh, Doctor, I can't tell you how you relieved my mind. I thought he was ducking.
Have these tablets made up for him to take every hour and make him gargle with salt water.
No, I'll take very good care of him. Now that I know it's nothing serious, it'll be fun.
Call me tomorrow and let me know how he feels. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor. Thank you. Anna! Anna!
Really, they're going to take him to the hospital.
There's nothing the matter with him except a cold.
Just a cold? Lordy, that man acted like he had double ammonia.
I'm going over to the drugstore and get his pills. On my way back, I'll get him a new detective story. He'd like that. And then there'll be just enough time for me to get my hair done after all.
Well, what about lunch?
Well, ask him what sounds good to him and fix it. I'll be back at once. Oh, and when Zelda comes to do the ironing, tell her to be very quiet. Mr. Cougar will probably be sleeping. Hello, Belda. Are you, coming or going?
Going. I'd be going by A&P store.
See A&P? What for?
Anna, she sent me to buy a nice steak.
Oh, I see. And, what else did Mr. Cougar order for lunch?
French fries, vegetable soup, and chocolate cake homemade. Poor sick man. He's be hungry.
Yes, he must be. Belda, what about the ironing?
Because the fuse is no ironing. Mr. Cougar, he's to fix his lamp together and tick, the fuse she blows. Now it's be no light, no hot iron.
Oh, dear.
I can't understand why none of those spare fuses would work.
George, please eat your lunch, dear. Anna fixed everything you asked for. She even baked this beautiful chocolate cake.
Do you think maybe if I tried switching them around...
Darling, if you go in that basement again, you're liable to become really ill.
It's getting gray and nasty outside, Liz. We can't get along without any electricity.
I've already phoned the electrician. He ought to be here any minute. George, dear, what were you doing with all those lamps in the library?
Oh, I started to clean my shotguns over near the wood box, but there wasn't enough light.
Well, why did you have to clean your guns over near the wood box?
It's out of draft.
Oh, I see.
So I hitched up a chain of three or four lamps, you know, attached them to each other by the plugs. I don't see why it blew all the fuses out.
Well, be quiet, Lillian. George, darling, you're not eating.
Well, it's funny, but nothing has any taste.
Oh, dear, and after you made Anna go to all that trouble, she'll be furious.
Might as well be eating straw. It's no use trying to force myself.
I guess I'd better eat your portion before she comes in. Pass the plate, dear. All right, Lillian, you can have his chocolate cake. That's a good kitty. Eat it all up and don't tell Anna.
Mr. Cougar must be feeling better already. He certainly ate a hearty lunch.
Yes, didn't I? I mean, didn't he? Anna, Mr. Cougar and I are going to spend the whole afternoon in front of the fire. You know, it's nice having him home.
Not for me. Every time I go to dust the table, Mr. Cougar is under it.
Well, he'll be out of your way now. He's probably too tired to do anything but just sit and read. I'm going into the library now. For heaven's sake, who opened those windows? George, where are you?
Out here.
George Cougar, are you mad? What are you doing out on that balcony?
I'm looking for Lillian. Funny, she disappeared like that.
Lillian? Mm-hmm. George, don't tell me you let Lillian out.
Oh, well, only for a minute. She ought to get more exercise. She's getting fat.
But, darling, you know we never let her out alone. She acts like a perfect idiot. Streaks across the street in front of cars and eat garbage and get stuck up in trees. Oh, dear, I'd better go right out and hunt for her.
After searching up and down the streets for hours, Mrs. Cougar finally found her cat Lillian hunched on top of a telephone pole. It took a half an hour to coax Lillian down, and by the time Mrs. Cougar limped back to her house, she was weary and hoarse.
And help me, Lily. If you ever do this again, I'll let you stay lost. Goodness, I wonder who left the front door open.
I guess maybe I did.
Why, are you waiting to see me?
Not exactly. Say, lady, your cat is being sick.
What?
Oh,
Oh, Lily.
Maybe she ate something, didn't agree with her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chocolate cake. Oh, better do something about this before Anna comes out here.
Chocolate? Who would be dumb enough to feed a cat chocolate cakes?
Yes. Did you want something?
Yeah, I am Harry Hirsch. I'm buying old clothes. The boss is getting me some out from the storeroom.
The storeroom?
Mm-hmm.
Why, it must be 10 below zero up there. George! George, you ought to be near the fireplace. It's too cold in the storeroom, darling. George! Well, for goodness sakes, is everybody up here?
Hello, Liz. Ann and Bill are helping me look for that striped suit I used to have.
Not much call for stripes.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Hirsch. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, it's all right. I thought I might as well come up, too.
Certainly. Why should he be the only one not in the storeroom? Anna, what are you doing?
This is the last sealed-up malt bag that we didn't unseal. Mr. Cooper thought maybe his striped suit was in it.
Well, it isn't. I gave it to the clothing center 2 years ago.
Hey, Liz, see what Velda found? My old Navy uniform. And look, it still fits me.
No collar, though, for uniform.
These look very nice, Mr. Cookout. Just like Van Johnson.
Oh, thank you, Velda.
Well, don't look now, Van, but you're spilling mothballs all over the floor.
Oh.
Mr. Hirsch. There's no use your looking at that overcoat. It's one of Mr. Cougat's best ones.
And a small size and plenty worn. I'll give you $1.50 for it.
George, you simply must come downstairs. There's no heat up here, dear.
$1.50 is a very nice price.
Look, Mr. Hirsch, will you go away if I sell you this nice checked golf suit?
$2, including the overcoat.
What? You mean only 50 cents for the suit?
No call at all for this.
Oh, George, you're sneezing. All right, Mr. Hirsch, just let's get out of this icebox and go downstairs before Mr. Cougar catches pneumonia.
Liz!
In a minute, dear, I'm getting your pills.
Where are my skis?
Your skis?
Yeah, well, as long as I have nothing else to do, I'd wax them.
George, you're supposed to be resting.
Well, I can wax them sitting down. Say, where's my fishing rod? I want to fix that reel.
Darling, will you just lie down on the couch and relax? I'm coming with your pills. Now, be a good boy and... George, what are you doing up on that ladder?
Have you any idea what's happened to my law school book? I distinctly remember putting them on the top shelf of this bookcase.
George, I've never even seen a law school book. Now, please come down.
Hey, doesn't anybody ever think to clean up here? It's positively filthy. Look at that dust.
George, will you please come down off that ladder?
All right. By the way, what did you ever do with my good camera? The lens needs polishing, and I could...
You could take your pills. Here.
Oh, there's the doorbell.
Yes, dear. Anna will answer it. Swallow your pills.
Okay. No, I think I'll sit down. Funny, I'm weak as a kitten.
Mr. Cartwright and Mr. Sturm are here to see Mr. Cougar.
They are. Good old Corey. Good old Ollie. Tell them to come in here, Anna.
But, darling, if you feel as weak as a kitten, perhaps you'd better not see them.
Ah,
because... Hello, Corey.
Well, how's the invalid?
Oh, they finally got you down, did they, George?
Down, but not out.
Anna, you better get some ice cubes and soda.
You know I didn't get even half my cleaning done, and dinner's on the stove.
Well, I'm sure they won't stay long. They realize Mr. Cougat's sick. They look so fit and hearty, they make poor Mr. Cougat seem sort of frail, sitting there in his old bathrobe with his hair sticking up.
Maybe needs a haircut.
You know, I think I'll phone Dr. Buell and ask him to drop in again tonight. Then you know what I'm going to do?
No.
I'm going to take a bath.
Yes.
We'll have dinner as soon as the gentleman leaves. If I'm still in the tub, knock on the door and I'll be down in 3 minutes. It feels good. Oh, heavens, but I'm tired. We'll go to bed right after dinner. Oh, that pine oil smells divine. I could stay here forever.
Miss Cougar?
Yes, Anna. Have the gentleman left?
No. Mr. Cougar's asked him to stay to dinner.
What? Oh, no.
And all we got is leftovers.
All right, I'll be right out. Is Zelda still here?
Yes, I'm just leaving.
Well, send her to the A&P for another steak. Some lettuce and tomatoes and a quart of drugstore ice cream. And tell her to hurry. The sooner we eat, the earlier they'll go home. I'm sorry dinner was so late, boys. At least a little time left for talking.
Oh, that's all right, Liz. We were planning to leave early anyway. Say, Georgie.
Hmm?
Did I tell you about the argument I had with the head waiter at the Ambassador about wild turkey?
No, Corey, I don't think so.
Well, the last time we dropped in there for dinner, wild turkey was on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't pretend to know everything about food, but I do know how to prepare wild turkey. And believe it or not, there was the pro telling Dill to use the wrong club. Now, I don't pretend to be a golf champion, but I do know when to use a brassy and...
Excuse me, Corey, but do you have the right time?
Yes, it's 9:30.
I asked only because I'm waiting for the doctor. He'll probably expect to find George in bed. You know how doctors are.
Oh, nonsense. I'm as strong as a lion. Go on, Corey.
Well, anyway, I said as much to the pro, and instead of being grateful, the big oaf had the nerve to... Oh, mind you. I don't pretend to know everything about football, but I do know plenty about strategy. And when I saw the coach, I told him...
Goodness, I wonder if Dr. Buell is ever coming. It must be almost 10:30.
You're right, Liz. 10:30 on the nose.
Doctors are so busy these days, they probably won't show up till midnight.
Midnight? Boys, do you think George looks... just a little tired?
Oh, don't be silly, Liz. I'm as fresh as a daisy. Say, Corey... you remind me of the time I ran 85 yards for a touchdown. Our team was undefeated, but in this game against... What's the matter, Liz? Why are you holding your head?
Oh, no special reason, darling.
Oh, well, as I was saying...
Oh, that must be Dr. Buell. It must be.
Well, we'll be going. It was a swell evening, but everything comes to an end.
Now, try to remember that.
Good night, fellas. And listen, if I'm still laid up, why don't we do this again tomorrow night? Say, Doc, did I ever tell you about the time I ran 85 yards for a touchdown?
I want to have a look at your ears, please.
What?
Darling, the doctor wants to look at your ears.
Oh, sure. Here, go ahead. Well, anyway, there I was at the end of the third quarter. The score tied. The crowd yelling.
They were off. I mean,
Dr. Buell, how is he?
Well, young lady, you're a pretty good nurse.
I am?
Yes, he'll be well enough to go to the office tomorrow.
What?
Well, what do you know?
Oh, doctor, that's wonderful. That's simply wonderful.
Hey, she's fainted. But, Doc, I'm the one who was sick. Why should she faint?
Utter exhaustion. Here, I think she's coming out of it now. How do you feel, Mrs. Guggart?
Will I live?
I think so. Providing you stay in bed all day tomorrow.
She will. I'm going to stay home and see that she does.
What did you say?
Tomorrow, I'm going to take care of you.
George... you mean you're going to be home another whole day?
Of course.
Oh, doctor, please order me a room at the hospital. I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
Wonderful, Connie. You made Mrs. Cougart sound like the woman next door.
Mrs. Cougart is the woman next door, Dick. That's why she's so real to so many people, and that's why I enjoyed being Mrs. Cougart tonight.
The pleasure was all ours. And now, because the General Assembly of the United Nations is meeting in America for the first time, we would like it very much if you'd read for our audience Archibald MacLeish's poem, The Young Dead Soldiers.
I'll be glad to, Dick. The young dead soldiers do not speak. Nevertheless, they are heard in the still houses. Who has not heard them? They have a silence that speaks for them at night. And when the clock counts, they say, we were young. We have died. remember us. They say, we've done what we could, but until it is finished, it is not done. They say, we have given our lives, but until it is finished, no one can know what our lives gave. They say, our deaths are not ours. They are yours. They will mean what you make them. They say, whether our lives and our deaths were for peace and a new hope or for nothing, we cannot say. It is you who must say this. They say, we leave you our deaths. Give them their meaning. Give them an end to the war and a true peace. Give them a victory that ends and war and a peace afterwards. Give them their meaning. We were young, they say. We have died. Remember us.
Thank you again, Constance Bennett. May currently be seen in the 20th Century Fox Technicolor musical, Centennial Summer. Mr. and Mrs. Cougott was dramatized by Priscilla Kent from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.
This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
The Radio Reader's Digest on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from October 24th, 1946 on CBS. That broadcast in particular said to have been part of the inspiration for what would become my favorite husband on radio, insofar as it was one of the first radio dramatizations of Isabel Scott Rorick's characters, Mr. and Mrs. Cougott, who were popular in novels. My Favorite Husband would end up starring Lucille Ball and Richard Denning, and that show in itself was said to be the inspiration for the I Love Lucy show. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Bob Hope Show with special guest Phil Harris, an NBC broadcast from September 25th, 1953.
Our singing star, Margaret Whiting, our special guest, Phil Harris. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill Boy, and good evening, everybody.
Now I have to finish a movie at Paramount, prepare my TV show, get started on this radio show, gather material for my personal appearance at the London Palladium. I know that seems like a lot, and people tell me I'd be happier if I didn't do so much, but that's just a theory, and I've got a better one. Happiness doesn't buy money. And I want to tell you, I need money. I've got a government to support. I'm leaving for Europe in a few days. I go over there every year to check on British affairs. But I'm glad. I'm looking forward to the trip now that I've had my overseas shots. I was a little jittery at the time, especially when the doctor said, Mr. Hope, you can't take this sitting down. They give you one shot for each country you visit, and I'm going to England, Scotland, Ireland, France, Germany, and Belgium. The doctor said, to make it more interesting, I'll tape this punch board to your hip, and maybe I'll win a turkey at the same time. They took a sample of my blood, and it turns out my blood type is known as Las Vegas.
no matter what age I want to live to, it's 3-1. I won't make it. And they got some wonderful new sleeping pills for plane travel. You take one and you sleep like a log. And if you take two, they put a handle on you and you make the whole trip as luggage. And I'll have more fun this trip because I understand some of the British expressions. The last time I was over there, every time someone mentioned the Union Jack, I thought they were referring to the mad money I had hidden in my underwear. And you know, the British have their own names for American performers. They call Danny Kaye Old Taffy Top, Fred Astaire is Twinkle Toes, Jack Benny is the Old Sixpence Snatcher. But they remember me most for my profile. Whenever they see me, they say, get a load of that pick, it's a dilly. But really, all London is looking forward to my coming there. I just got a copy of the London Times with a headline, Bob hoped to appear at Palladium, big B.O. expected. Of course, you know how they meant that. Well, I know, and I can see that you've guessed. The last time I was there, I did have a little trouble meeting royalty, but it wasn't my fault. I was told the custom was to bow and kiss hands. It worked fine with Elizabeth, but I thought Philip was going to slug me.
Ladies and gentlemen, when Margaret Whiting and I arrived at Bob's house this morning for the first rehearsal, Bob was overflowing with enthusiasm.
So you see, Maggie and Bill were on the air for a great sponsor.
Bob, who's our first guest?
Oh, Phil Harris.
Phil Harris?
Why, Bob, Phil's the guy who got me my start in show business.
How's that?
Well, when I was a kid, his band came to town. I went to see him, stood right in the front row, and he made me what I am today.
This I don't follow at all. What did Phil do?
He breathed on me, and I've had this gorgeous curly hair ever since.
Is that what happened to it? I thought you left it in the laundromat too long. Anyway, Phil Harris is our guest, so I... Hey, there's someone at the door. Pardon me.
Mr. Hope?
That's right. What can I do for you?
May I speak to you for a few minutes, please?
Well, go right ahead.
Well, couldn't I come in and sit down?
Look, mister, I'm not in the market for any razor blades or shoelaces, and if it's my autograph you want, drop a quarter in the machine by the gate.
Mr. Hope, I am not selling razor blades, and I don't happen to be a tourist.
You're not?
No. I am Mr. Montgomery, your sponsor.
Like I said, come right in.
Thank you.
Bill, Maggie, this is Mr. Montgomery, representing our sponsor.
How do you do?
Well, Miss Whiting, I want to welcome you to our family. The association is very happy to have you with us. And we know you'll give us some fine shows during the season.
Well, we'll certainly try, Mr. Montgomery. Just wait till you hear my jokes.
Fine, Buff.
Oh, it'll be easy to work for you, Mr. Montgomery. I know you're not going to be like some of those other sponsors, gruff and critical and cold.
Wait till he hears your jokes.
Bill, why don't you run over to the Weather Bureau? They may have a drizzle around that could use another drip, huh? Run over there, kid. Work in there, Will.
I'm not worried, Mr. Hope. I know our show is in good hands.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, I assume you'll have the proper type of guest star on our show each week?
Oh, sure. We're having Phil Heck.
What do you mean, the proper type of guest star? Oh, we're very strict about that. Our association is composed of farmers, and we like the wholesome, corn-fed type of personality. Who is your guest this week?
Well, I'll tell you later, so it'll be a surprise.
Well, would you say he's wholesome and corn-fed?
Yes, very. Yeah. He's wholesome enough, and he's consumed more corn than anybody in America.
Oh, a fine, upstanding fellow, eh?
Yes, indeed. He's upstanding when he isn't lying down.
I'm going, then. I'll see you all later.
Goodbye, Mr. Montgomery.
Bye.
Bye, sir.
Gee, Bob. The type of guest star they want doesn't sound much like Phil Harris. You know, Phil isn't exactly a farm boy.
No, Phil isn't interested in wheat and grain unless they're over 90 proof. Boy, what a spot to be in. I'm so anxious to make good with my new sponsors. I just can't have Phil on my show.
Gee, Bob, what are you going to do?
Well, when Phil shows up, I'll have to get rid of him some way.
Well, maybe you could telephone and head him off before he leaves home.
Yep. Too late.
folks. Yeah, folks, yeah. You can laugh and grin because Harris is here and it's going to be cool from here on in. I know because I brought a bottle of it with me.
Holy smoke, Bob. What are you going to do?
I'll pretend I didn't hire him. Well, well, Phil, what brings you here?
What brings me here? Look, Bob, you said you wanted somebody who would make your show a big success. Someone who would snap it up and make it really funny, didn't you?
Well, I may have said that.
Well, call me Peppermint Clyde because I'm your lifesaver.
Look, Phil, there must be some misunderstanding.
No, Bob, no, there ain't no misunderstanding. Now, look, when I met you at the golf club yesterday, you were worried about your show.
I don't know what you're talking
about. You said
that
you wanted to be funny tonight. That's why I brought my ammunition over. By tonight, you're going to be one of the funniest guys in town if I have to pour it all down you and go without a drop myself.
No, Phil, you've got it wrong. When we were talking to Lakeside, it wasn't about your being on my show. I wanted you to be my caddy.
Your caddy?
Sure, who'd make a better caddy? Well, the other caddies can't even see one ball, you'd see three or four.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Listen, you told me you want me to do a guest shot, and I'm going to do a guest shot. Now, come on, introduce me to the others, because of... Hey, ain't that Maggie Whiting? Hiya, Magola.
Hiya, Phil. Gee, it's been so long since we last met that I didn't know if you'd remember me.
Oh, I ain't never going to forget your type, honey. You can't get them high dramatics anymore since the plant burned down.
The next noise you hear will be my sponsor flipping his cream separator.
Hey, Bob, who's that good-looking kid over there?
Yeah.
Hey, how about introducing me?
Oh, don't tell me all those teeth don't know each other. When you two open up at the same time, it looks like two Buicks gnashing their grills at each other. Bill, help me get rid of this guy, will you, please?
Okay, Bob. Say, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil, you better get out to your car. It's tipped over on its side with two wheels up in the air.
Oh, yeah, I know. I always park that way.
You do?
Sure, I got some champagne in the glove compartment and like to keep it tilted. Oh, Phil, you're a regular art link letter. Say, William, tell me something. Did you notice, Elliot Lewis? Was he in the back seat?
No, he wasn't, Phil.
Oh, good. Then he must have found an apartment.
Phil, you mean to say Elliot Lewis actually lives in the back of your car?
Sure. Elliot's a bachelor. He don't need a lot of fancy fixing.
But what does Alice say?
Oh, Alice. She don't know nothing about it. When she drives the car, Elliot keeps his head down out of sight. But I think she's getting suspicious.
She is?
Yeah, she took the car to the garage twice last week to find why the rear axle was snoring. No good, huh?
Well, if you don't want to go out and look at your car, Phil, why don't you go get your hair trimmed, or maybe you got a library book that's overdue.
Wait a minute, Bob. Wait a minute. Now, what are you trying to do? Get rid of me or something? What's it all about?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Phil. I'd like to have as a guest star someone who drinks milk, or at least knows what it looks like.
Well, why didn't you say so? It'll be great to be on a show. Alice owns one, a dairy.
Really, Phil? Alice owns a dairy?
Sure she does.
Well, this is the first I've ever heard of it. How long has Alice owned a dairy?
For years. She sits down every night and writes everything she does in it.
I only went to Cleveland Grammar School for 8 weeks, but tonight I feel like an intellectual. Here she is, Margaret Whiting, backed up by Les Brown as Gypsies, doing whatever Lola wants.
Come in, Maggie.
Whatever Lola wants. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself with resign yourself, you're through. I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Take off your coat, don't you know you can't win? You're no exception to the rule. I'm irresistible. Give in, give in. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. That little man, Lola wants you. Make up your mind to have no recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through. I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, you're no exception. I'm irresistible, you fool. Give in, give out, give in.
Ladies and gentlemen, in spite of everything Bob could do, Phil Harris was determined to be the guest on the show. So let's return to the rehearsal this morning. We find Bob and Phil working on the script.
Okay, I've got the first line. Nice to see you, Phil. Where have you been?
Down to the blood bank.
Did you donate a pint?
No, Phil. I brought in that joke.
Yeah, I know. Wow, on a stretcher. Really, Phil? Look, we can't do your jokes. My sponsor wants people to drink milk, not you.
Pardon me, Phil.
Hello?
Oh. Yes, sir.
What can I do for you?
Where?
When? Oh, sure, I'll be glad to, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Anything you say, sir.
Goodbye, sir.
Who is that, Bob? Your wife?
That call was from Mr. Montgomery, representing my sponsor. They're having an outing this afternoon, and he wants me to go over there. And he insists I bring my guest star.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Now, what's the matter with me? Have I become so socially objectionable that you don't even want to take me on a picnic?
Well, it's not that, Phil.
Well, you certainly didn't act this way when you were whining and dining me, trying to get a look at the picture in my peekaboo telescope.
Well, you said it was divine. How'd I know you meant Andy? All right, Phil, I'll take you along with me, but remember, my sponsors, when you meet them, don't say, throw away the stopper, boys, we're floating home tonight.
Look, Bob, you don't have to worry about me. I'm adjustable. When I'm with the lowbrows, I'm a lowbrow. And when I'm with the ritzy set, I'm as smooth as a sweatband in the conductor's hat. Oh, Phil, nobody can stop. Come on, let's go.
Boy, this joint is really jumping. Hey, there's Maggie Whiting.
Hi, fellas.
What are you doing here, Maggie? You singing at this shindig?
Yeah, just wait to hear my number, Phil. It's called Bossy Has No Tail Anymore. She flicked the fly off the power saw.
That's a song?
Well, that's just a little ditty I wrote, Phil. The title isn't much, but the words are very smart. The first line goes, little calf, you better stay home by your mummy, or the cactus will scratch all the fur off your tummy.
Here's how to do it to you.
Oh, that's a doozy.
Yeah.
For a minute, I thought you was going to come up with something corny.
I picked out some appropriate songs I'd like Maggie to do.
Well, fine. What are they?
Well, wait till the cows come home, Old Buttermilk Sky, and I'm walking behind you. Here, take the songs and look them over.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. What's the song here?
Which one?
The title reads, Old Bossy Has Got Such Wobbly Knees, Now All She Gives Is Cottage Cheese.
Oh, my brother wrote that song, Maggie. He's just made a record of it. On the other side is The Cowboy's Lament. I thought of you by the hamburger stand when a bun opened up and you licked my hand. Anyway, if we pick the right songs, Maggie, your music can help a lot to remind people of our dairy products.
Bob, Mr. Montgomery wants to see you.
Where is he?
Over by the livestock exhibit. Follow me. Hey, Phil, what's in the basket?
Oh, honey, just a few things for a picnic lunch. Chicken wing, half a tuna sandwich, and 3 bottles of Old Whipping Post. That's in case of snake bites, you know.
Well, what's in the other basket?
A snake to make sure he gets bitten. Oh, there's Mr. Montgomery now. Please, Phil, stay in the background, will you?
Well, hello, Bob. I'm glad you came over to visit our dairyman. Is this the guest who will be on our radio show tonight?
Well, no. No, he drove the cab. We came over in. I mean, he's my cousin George from Dubuque. Or rather, my brother Fred. I mean, my Uncle Wilbur.
He says I'm his wife, Dolores. I quit.
Look, partner, let's quit the Walson. I'm Phil Harris.
Oh, of course I recognized you right away, Mr. Harris.
Mr. Harris. You don't object to him being on our show?
Well, certainly not. We have a picture of Phil Harris hanging on the wall in our main office.
You do? What for?
There's a sign underneath. Drink milk or you'll look like this. Now that we're here, Mr. Montgomery, what are we supposed to do?
Well, Bob, the dairyman would get a big kick out of it if you gentlemen would enter our milking exhibition.
Milking exhibition?
Yes, it's going to start immediately in this barn. That's why we have all these cows lined up in these stalls.
Well, that's where I came in. I ain't getting near none of them.
Why not?
Well, look at that big round thing underneath. Looks like a floating mine. It might go off.
I hope you'll enter the contest, Bob. After all, if you want us to sponsor your show.
Oh, I'll do it. I love cows. My best friend is a cow. My favorite song is Cow Cow Boogie. I eat, drink, and sleep cows, and I'm a cow milker from way back. And that's where you milk them, brother. Come on, Phil. Let's show them what we can do.
Here's your buckets, gentlemen. Just pick out a cow, and when the whistle blows, start right in.
Here, Phil, take this cow. You milk one side, and I'll milk the other.
How we know which faucet to use?
We don't.
Then what are we going to do?
Simple. We'll put a bottle under each one and let the cow decide.
All right, gentlemen, are you ready? Begin.
Come on, Phil, let's start.
Okay. There. I guess I got the right place, but nothing's happening.
Phil?
Yeah, Bob?
Let go of my nose.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fine thing.
What's the matter?
15 years of band leader, and here I am back in the rhythm section.
I'm not just milking this thing. I'm getting half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah, in the hard way. 5/8 and 3/8.
Listen what happens when I give the cow's tail a little tug. Listen.
Well, what about it?
Everybody's imitating Mel Torme.
Hey, I got an idea how to speed this up. You know what cows like is music. Listen. You, 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 no one else but you.
Hey, you got it, Jasper.
How's it coming, boys?
We'll be through in a couple of shakes.
Splendid. If you can keep up this pace, you'll set a milking record for the whole county.
Hey, did you hear that? Let's keep singing, Bob. That old black magic's got me.
Wait, Phil, not that song.
What difference does it make the cows what song it is?
I'm telling you, Phil.
It's got rhythm. Now, come on. That old black magic got me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers.
I knew we
we'd never get by Icy Fingers.
Thank you, Phil. Folks, I had the chance of being with our Boy Scouts at that big jamboree. Now, these boys are from every nation in the world, and I want to tell you what's really thrilling. Sort of the United Nations in short pants. Scouting teaches everything that is American. Loyalty, self-reliance, tolerance, democracy. Yes, sir, the Boy Scouts of America, the Boy Scouts the world over, will have the opportunity to help make or break this crazy planet of ours. And I feel certain they'll succeed as a force for good in developing better relationships, more universal understanding. If we would all live up to the Scout laws to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, I'd guarantee the very best prospects for a brighter future. Peace and harmony throughout the world. All this I promise gladly if we put our trust where it can well be placed in the Boy Scouts of America.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 25th of September 1953 on NBC. That Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.